BOO. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, that was Lee Mercer. He is board president of Healthcare for All Oregon. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives. Thank you, Tammy, and stay tuned for Flashpoints.
I'm a loving the old lion, a winner without fail.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones, Mike Crenshaw, Smoke M2OD6, and many more. Again, that's the PDX Leo Party on Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian, located at 426 Southwest Washington Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock and time for Flashpoints. Be sure and stay tuned at 11 for the KBOO Bike Show with news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. And thank you, KBOO members, again for your generous support. You can always become a member by going to kboo.fm and clicking where it says Donate Today. Thanks a lot for doing that. And now we go to Flashpoints.
Flashpoints, the Supreme Court stays full implementation of the draconian anti-poor, anti-abortion law, but the threat against a woman's right to choose remains under extreme attack in Texas and from one end of this country to the other. We'll meet some of the young folks who are on the front lines and were arrested in Texas fighting against this anti-woman oppression. And we'll feature an excerpt from our interview last night with the longtime anti-death penalty advocate Michael Kroll. And, well, we'll be talking about a crackdown on the poor in touchy-feely Berkeley, California. Can you imagine cracking down on the poor? All this coming up straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, we're going to be talking about three issues that really signal an expanded attack on the poor in this country. And we are concerned about what happened in terms of Texas and the battle to keep abortion a reality for women and for poor women, for mostly women of color, for all of us, shall we say. And then now death penalty, kill them no matter what. We don't care how the suffering unfolds because we've seen it. It's as bad as it can be. And now here in Berkeley, we're going to be talking about the war on the poor, the homeless. And I guess Berkeley's going to try and set an example of how to be as vicious as any other city in the country. But we're going to be talking about all these things today. Joining us first up to talk about that battle in Texas is Alex Petersburg. Alex is a leading organizer with Stop Patriarchy in the Bay Area nationally. She traveled all over the country with Abortion Rights Freedom Ride for two summers. She was arrested in Texas around the HB2 fight and is a lead organizer for the protest at the office of the, well, that already happened, but we are delighted. That happened. There's no protest tomorrow, or is there?
It is tomorrow,
oh,
yes.
Oh, please, then. What's that?
Yeah.
Let's start right with that.
Okay. We're Stop Patriarchy joining with others, calling on others to join us nationally and in San Francisco at the office of the Archdiocese tomorrow at 1 o'clock, July 1st, tomorrow. Okay. And it's at 1 Peter York Way. It's across the street from St. Mary's Cathedral. It's the home office to the bigot Archbishop Corleone, who has been hard at work for the last two decades to eradicate the rights of LGBTQ people, as well as the right to abortion.
All right. We'll mention that at the end of the interview as well. Great. So people can remember it. But Alex, tell us why you went to Texas. What happened there? What first dragged you, brought you there?
So in 2013, there was the passage of this package of anti-abortion legislation. There were four laws, all specifically designed to shut down clinics by imposing medically unnecessary requirements, putting doctors in difficult positions. And then probably the most contested there and across the country is this ambulatory surgical center law, which abortion is a simple and safe outpatient procedure, and it requires only abortion clinics to outfit themselves like mini emergency rooms. These are $3 million renovations, sometimes often renovations, and by design, renovations that abortion clinics can't afford, forcing the closure of dozens of clinics at this point across the country, and with the potential to close more than half the clinics in Texas.
Now, tell us, what did you learn in that? I mean, what made it necessary for you to put your body on the line, if you will, to step over that line? Tell us a little bit about that and what it felt like to be down there doing that.
Well, I'll just say over the last couple of years, there's been a historical number of restrictions against abortion, a really unacceptable over 300 in recent years, more than in the entire previous decade before 2009. So we're in a situation where there's just a rapidly escalating assault on this basic right. And at the time last year, Texas really concentrated that. You had the governor, Rick Perry, who, you know, really spoke for the leadership of the anti-abortion movement and saying, my goal is to make Texas an abortion-free state. And one thing that, you know, is very revealing when you're out there and facing these anti-abortion activists and when you're really following the actions and the words of their leaders is the understanding that these people have a very specific role for women in mind. The sort of veil of the movement is about babies and life, but when you understand that 50,000 women die every year from illegal, unsafe abortions, you have to kind of take a step back and say, how could a movement that opposes birth control and opposes abortion really be about anything other than establishing this particular role for women? That's clear in person, it's clear in, you know, you don't have to be there to know that either if, you know, you analyze actually the words and actions of that movement. And as you often bring to light, it is a movement that's led by terrorists and fascists and fanatics that have a real beef with the fact that women have won any kind of independence in society at all, want to see that go backwards, think that a woman's only role in life should be to be a mother and there's something wrong with her if she chooses not to be.
Of course, I lived through, did interviews, many interviews around the killing of doctors who are willing to do abortions. And I myself wrote a book about Henry Hyde, who, you know, set the tone. It's his law that's still being used to brutalize women. And I ended up, and many people who took them on, you end up on sort of their website, literally in their crosshairs.
That's right.
Of people that they need to get rid of. They don't mess around.
It's true. It's true. And I mean, there's a real need at this moment not to try to pander to that side or to cede any kind of moral high ground, even though they do it in the name of religion, they do it in the name of babies, but to actually step out there as an emergency situation and speak positively about abortion and demand nothing less than abortion. Unrestricted. Anytime a woman needs it, no questions asked, and without guilt or shame. There's nothing wrong with abortion. Fetuses aren't babies. And unless we want to see a future where women are literally treated as property, treated as incubators, it's on us to stand up at this point.
Right. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. It's your daily investigative news magazine. That's Alex Petersburg. She's a leading organizer with Stop Patriarchy. Also joining us and somebody who's been on the front line is Sam. She's a college student. She's joining us from Los Angeles, I believe. She was on the Abortion Rights Freedom Ride, arrested in Texas last summer. Sam, welcome to Flashpoints.
Hey.
Good to have you with us. Why don't you just cut to the quick for us? What's at the heart of the matter for you here? Well, why are you putting your yourself on the line for this?
Last summer when I went to Texas to fight against HB2 and really build a national counteroffensive against this war on women, I remember like thinking about sort of like the repercussions of being arrested and you know, get arrested. And I thought about that, but then I was just thinking about why I was there. And I thought about like all the women that will die and are dying right now because of these laws and because of this fascist movement that is gaining momentum. And I just thought about what was at stake and all these women's lives. And it's just, it becomes like you can just see that it's objectively necessary for people to make sacrifices for half of humanity. And then it, when you proceed from what is needed, it's no longer hard to think about like what you might lose as an individual. Yeah. And just knowing like Alex was saying, like when you encounter these fascists, you quickly realize what this is really about. That this is about really reducing women to mere breeders and basically state-regulated incubators. And that is the equivalent of a slave. And so, yeah, I can't take that.
All right, and that's the voice of Sam. Also, let's bring into the conversation Lewis. He joins us. He's a high school student. He joins us from San Francisco, I believe. Lewis, you are in a Catholic high school. You're very young. You're deeply engaged in this movement. Why? What's driving you?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I just think that as a middle-class male who grew up in San Francisco or grew up in California in general, there's a lot that I didn't realize about our country. And, like, you know, I knew about the history of racism and sexism and everything like that, but from my environment, I didn't see it. I kind of gave into this sexism is over kind of thing. And when you look at that, mostly in the southern states or internationally, but even right here, that's a complete lie, you know?
And I'm wondering, you know, in terms of sort of being a man in this struggle, I was just speaking with Alex before we went on the air, and I was talking about how I would watch my mother every morning put on her makeup. It was sort of like war paint because she was going to war every day to get her rights. To, you know, she'd do the work, and her boss would get five times the pay, and she'd come home, and it would be another day where we didn't have enough to eat. So as a young man, I watched my mom struggle, and I felt that on a daily basis. Poor and working class, essentially, you have to be incredibly careful because you can't afford to lose that job. I'm sort of wondering what's driving you into this.
I just think that this is every women's issue is something that's largely ignored right now in our society. I mean, for Catholic schools in San Francisco before this Corleone era, they were relatively progressive, but nobody is speaking out about this. And it just disturbs me that, you know, when abortion is legal, there's still like these little loopholes that we're seeing in Tennessee and in Texas and Kansas that are trying to create or maintain, keep this culture of misogyny with this guise of, oh, well, a woman's free to do whatever she wants when, you know, we know the truth behind that. We see through their, you know, ethic of life, as they call it.
Lewis, you're in a Catholic high school. What's that like? Is this a pro-abortion Catholic high school?
Yes and no. There's an interesting power structure within the archdiocese, as we've seen with Corleone and his new reforms, where basically he signs a paper and then every Catholic teacher, every employee of this archdiocese needs to abide by it. And that goes with dissolving the unions, banning them from speaking about LGBTQ, abortion, you know, evolution, masturbation, whatever it may be. So there, on that level, yes, it's pro-abortion, it's conservative, it's terrible. But from actual faculty, from the information that they've been allowed to say, most of them do not seem on the conservative side. And that's why these new reforms are scary, because then teachers who, their job is to teach. They're not priests, they're not ministers, they're not preachers, they're teachers. So these new reforms would silence the progressive teachers and make them, you know, little missionaries. And that's my biggest fear right now.
All right, let me bring it back to you, Alex. Alex Petersburg here in the studio at KPFA Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. I'm Dennis Bernstein. So I imagine you're going to keep fighting this battle. We've seen the Supreme Court, they stayed a significant part of the worst of it. Some clinics that were going to be closed down, I think today, managed to stay open. But this is a tightrope that we're walking. Now, you want to talk a little bit about what it looks like now and your concerns on this?
Sure. Well, I'll just say that there's a direction that things are moving in, that anybody who cares about the future of women has a responsibility at this point to aim to change. So while I do plan on, you know, and Stop Patriarchy plans on fighting this battle in perpetuity, we also aim to win it, you know, and actually change the terms society-wide on how people think about abortion, how people consider women to be human beings versus objects or accessories or baby makers. Really, we have a lot of evidence to support the fact that we shouldn't be relying on politicians at this point. And, you know, in a situation where there are 6 states that have only 1 abortion clinic left, we have to understand that it's a national issue. And people across the country just raising hell tomorrow and going forward.
And again, remind people what that is. What you know, what's planned here? And I imagine there are plans around the country. So yes. Why don't you just talk a little bit again, here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where we broadcast from, you're going to be part of protests. Talk about that.
Yes. Well, I'll say joining us in the